Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and today is episode 3 of Tips for Enduring the End Times, where we're going to be talking about how to have an intimate walk with the Lord, soul wounds and isolation, the pearl vision, the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and how to get it even if you're unchurched and you don't have anyone to lay hands on you. And we're going to be talking about practical tips to prepare for the end times, how to write your own declaration prayers, and the increase of witchcraft right now. I'm joined on this episode, as with the first two, by my lovely friend Nicole, who is very knowledgeable. Now here's the show.
When we were talking about the soul wounds and about making sure you're not isolating yourself so that you know.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know that you don't have them, because if you're isolated and you're not around anybody, it's very easy to hide that from yourself because you not having anybody stir it up, so to speak.
That's true.
I wanted to mention a number of years back, my dad had an open vision. He's only had a few of these, but one of them he had. He had a vision of God's hands, and in the hands were these beautiful pearls. But the pearls had bumps and imperfections and tiny little spots on them. And so in the vision, God's hands were holding all these pearls, and he was shifting the pearls from one hand into the other, one hand into the other. And as the pearls would hit each other, every so often the imperfections would fall off and it would get smoother and rounder and more beautiful. And then when the pearl was perfect and pretty and beautiful, he would let his hands open and the pearl would drop and it would fall into a sheet. And God showed him that the pearls were the saints. And as they did not forsake the siblings of themselves and they were together and they were bumping into each other, he was using the interaction of them to help perfect them. And then when he opened up his hand, when the pearl dropped into the sheet, he took them home because they were ready.
I love that.
So part of our life is not just about, yes, we want to get saved, we want to serve God, but it's about the process of perfecting, of getting the sin out of our lives, of getting it running together, learning what we need to learn, and making ourselves like him, or him making us like him.
Yeah.
So that we can go home and be with him. So try not to isolate yourself. I know like you, there is no church around you, but you know, you have close friends and you still are with people that help you, but we need to try to not completely isolate ourselves.
Yeah. And I interact with a lot of people online, lots.
Yes, and you can attest that God uses that to help refine you as well.
I so can. And some people online, oh, wow, they're so mean. And some of them are just rude. But, yeah, once you tell me the pearl vision, that was just such a comfort to me. I'm like, okay, he's making me better. I just got to do the right thing. I'm probably one of the pearls that has, like, bumps all over it. And I need a lot of work, so.
Oh, we all need work.
Tell that story that you said you heard on Perry Stone's show about praying in tongues. I don't think we talked about that. Did we talk about that yet?
No.
Let's talk about that.
So we've been talking about Perry Stone. I obviously like him. He was a TV preacher, and I may have mentioned this before, but like I was kind of against TV preachers, and I have no idea why. I can't even tell you why. I guess there was some that I just were turned off by, and so I just didn't listen to TV preachers. And my aunt had sent me one of his sermons, and I listened to it, and it's like I felt the anointing really strong in the sermon. And so I said, you know what? I ran out of all my Derek Prince stuff. I went through all that. So I said, I bought a book, and I was listening to one of his books. And I question everything because I've been brought up to do that. That's wise. We test everything out, right?
Right.
So I remember listening to the book, and he had said, he was talking about time, how time was vertical, linear, which is what we live in, today, tomorrow, it moves linear. That time was vertical. When God intersects with us, it's vertical. And I understood that. That made sense. And then he said, and time is secular. And I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. And now this is in my mind because, like, I don't really pray that much out loud unless I'm commanding demons. I try to do everything mentally because I know that the demons can't hear my thoughts. So I find it safer.
Oh, okay.
So I remember thinking, I don't know about time being secular. And it's like before I had the thought out of my mind – before I said it in my mind, God said, I am a wheel within a wheel. And I was like, okay, this is what I want me to listen to. And when I tell you the spiritual growth is like, I find his sermons are like spiritual growth on steroids. It's just instantly like vitamins to my spirit. Instantly the growth was amazing.
Some other people's sermons are McDonald's. His is steak dinner.
I do listen to Perry Stone a lot, but so he had told a story about his dad. His dad has passed now, but when his dad was still alive, he had spent a few hours in prayer in this one moment, and he went into the spirit, and he said he saw Christians in churches who were being tempted in the last days with things that they had never been tempted before, and people having affairs, just crazy things that most Christians would never even think of. And he said when he came out of the open vision he was having, he told his son, he said, I will not be here when this happens. He said, but you will, and you need to tell the people that they need to pray excessively in the spirit in order to survive the end times.
Wow.
And that really stuck with me. Whenever I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, I was young, and I received the Holy Spirit with a few syllables. And then I was really never taught that I was supposed to continue praying that on a daily basis. I don't know why, I just wasn't. And I, in my mind, thought it was something that I only did whenever, like, you get filled, and if you don't get filled again, then you don't do it again, I guess, in my head. And after I went through deliverance, I realized that wasn't right. So I would imagine it was probably them making me feel that way.
Probably.
I'm 99% sure it was that. So I started praying more in the spirit, and my language went from a little syllable to a whole language in itself. And I'd actually heard Perry say that if you pray in the spirit for more than 20 minutes at a time, you will hear your language change. And I've done that. And I've heard it change to multiple different ones. You just changes. I don't know what it is, but it's changing. There was even one time when I was praying in the spirit that I knew I was speaking to a demon because I was speaking in its language, whatever language it was. I knew it by the Spirit of God, did not know what I was saying.
Wow.
But I knew he would interpret a few of the words for me. So I knew when I said in Jesus' name, and I knew I was calling it out. That was all I knew.
Wow.
And I was doing it while he was sleeping. So praying in the Spirit is vitally important.
It's also good for doing warfare.
Definitely.
They
cannot stand it.
We have fought. We've been trying to record this podcast since, 8:45 or 9 o'clock this morning, and it was 2 o'clock by the time we were able to get started. Satan does not want this information out there. I'm not sure which part of it he's so concerned about, but...
probably all of it.
Yeah. So finally, after that last battle that we had, and you and I had to get off the phone while we worked on our separate things, I started battling in the spirit, and that was one of the things I went into was warfare tongues, because I was getting really upset, because I could see that he was fighting us, and that he wasn't going to stop. And I was like, oh yeah, you are. You really are going to stop. We're going to. And I threatened the demons. I sent them away, and then I told them what I was going to do if they came back and bothered us again while we were doing this.
And, you know, just like we're talking about our spirit man being fed and being strong, you are supposed to exercise the gifts of the spirit. The Bible says that. Praying in tongues is one of them.
That's true.
And so when I spent that long time every single night praying in the spirit, praying in tongues over my husband while he slept, I had trained or exercised my spirit to do it, so much so that it started doing it for me while I was sleeping. And I remember one night I woke up, and as I was coming out of my sleep, I heard myself in my mind screaming in tongues while I felt something sitting on my back.
Wow.
And I knew immediately that something was attacking me, and while my body was asleep, my spirit man is still awake, and it was fighting for me because I had already trained it how to do it.
True. Wow, that's good. I've woke up praying in tongues too before.
And I had mentioned that to my dad the next day, and he said the same night that it happened to him as well.
Really?
Something sitting on him. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So we were both being attacked the same way.
Interesting.
And in these last days, you know, we don't know what's coming, and we really do need to be praying in the spirit, because the Bible says when we don't know what to pray, our spirit prays for us.
Yeah.
It knows perfectly what to, it prays, and then God interprets it. You know, he knows what it's being said, and we don't even need to know. And sometimes it's the best way to pray, because your mind gets in the way when you're trying to pray.
And I want to talk about, for the people who are unchurched, who don't have a place to go to get someone to lay hands on you so you can receive that gift. In 1981, my mother lived in Elk City by herself. She and my dad had split up, and she moved up there near my sister. My husband and I at the time lived down on the coast, the Gulf Coast of Texas. And one night, she decided, she was watching preaching or something. Mom watched preaching all the time. And she wanted that gift. And she was not involved in a church. And she got on her knees and she said, I want that gift. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And she said, I am not getting up off this floor until you give me that. And she started praying, and she kept just going before the throne. I want this gift. I'm not getting up till you give me. The Bible says I can have it. It says I should have it, you know, and all this. She quoted all this stuff. And he touched her, and he filled her with the Holy Spirit. And she was by herself, y'all. And she could speak in tongues for the rest of her life. So you can get it by yourself if that's the avenue that's open to you. Don't be afraid to go before. We have not because we ask not, like Nicole said. Go before God and ask him for that. If you don't have someone you can go to that's trustworthy, that you can say, hey, can you lay hands on me to receive the gift of tongues?
Yeah, and I don't think anyone laid hands on me. I think I was just in church seeking it, and he gave it to me.
A pastor, not a pastor, a pastor's wife in Lafayette laid hands on me at a women's meeting one Wednesday night, or one Thursday night, whatever night of the week it was, where all the women met, and she just said, does anybody want to have this? And I wanted it, so of course I'm, you know, running up to the front. I think I was the only person who ran up to the front. I think I was the only person who raised my hand and said, me, and I was really super shy back then. I know y'all can't really imagine that now, but I really was. And I went up to the front, and she laid hands on me, and she said, just pray. Well, I was terrified to pray out loud. I'd been saved like 15 minutes. You know, I didn't even know how to pray. And so I didn't say much, and so nothing came out in tongues. But I felt something when she prayed. She put her hand on where your spirit man is in your midsection of your body and prayed for me, and I held it back. And Satan tormented me for about 10 years with that and told me that I wasn't ever going to get it, that even if I asked God for it again, I couldn't have it, and yada, yada, yada. And when I got under this deliverance ministry in 2007, I told that pastor's wife, I told Pastor Christie, what, you know, what had happened and what the devil had been saying. She said, that is a lie from the pit of hell. And she said that he had done that to her too. And she said when she got tongues, she got one syllable. And she said she realized later, she didn't know it then, but realized later, a lot of times when you get a warfare tongue, it will come out real staccato and it will be one syllable. And she said, I'm going to pray for you again. And she said, I don't care if you just get one syllable, you start praying it. We're going to fix this right now. And we did. She prayed for me and we did. And from then, I never shut up after that.
And think about it. When you're a baby, you don't start speaking a whole language. You start with one word.
That is so true. That is so true.
So don't feel bad if it's only one syllable. Now, no. If you've been praying in like that for a little while and it's not growing, there could be a demon around you blocking it. Remember, the demons can get into your body but not your spirit, man. And so they can get around it and block it. I've seen people have trouble with that where it sounds like they're stuttering. It's because they are. And once they went through deliverance, then it flowed perfectly.
Oh, okay. That's
so... You know, when you first start, yes, mine was just a couple of syllables. It wasn't until I started practicing it. And I don't mean practicing by making up words. That's not what I mean. I mean,
no, you mean praying what you got. Yeah, that's what happened to me too. And the more I used it, I got more. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. I'm getting more words. And so now I can pray in it and it just flows out. And it comes out, whatever needs to come out, comes out.
And you know it's not you because you're not... Yeah. Thinking of making up where it just comes out.
It just flows.
You don't have time to do that. And like I said, I had said before, I think on a way previous show, there's been times where I was being attacked in church during worship while I was playing the piano and singing, and I had to war in tongues in my mind at the same time to get it to stop, which is not physically possible to do.
That's got to be pretty tough to do. Yeah, but
it just shows it's God.
Yeah, it's your spirit, so I guess it's not hard because your mind is still doing the stuff it's doing, so that makes sense.
Right.
Wow.
So if it was something you were doing on your own, you wouldn't be able to sing and play the piano at the same time while you were praying in tongues.
I wouldn't think.
Can't. No, it was God.
Okay, so let's talk about some practical things that you can do to prepare for what's coming. Because we know we're in the end of the end times. We know some of what's coming. We don't know the order. We don't know everything. We just, you know, we know the things that he's told us in words and things like that, and through, you know, prophets over time, you know, over the last 100 years or however many years, many, many years, plus in the Bible. So, and the Bible obviously comes first. I didn't mean to put that last. So the number one thing that will help you traverse the end times is an intimate walk with the Lord. And y'all know I talk about this all the time, but the reason I talk about it is because you need it. When this stuff happens and when our grid goes down and that sort of thing, who are you going to ask questions of? No one can do your praying for you. They can't be hearing from God for you. You need to be able to hear for yourself, and you need to know how to pray the word for yourself. That's why I focus on this stuff so much, because I'm trying to help you. So when that time comes, you'll know what to do and you won't be afraid. I don't want y'all to be afraid. So to have an intimate walk with the Lord, you want to get as much sin out of your life as you possibly can. Anytime we sin, we are putting ourselves before him, okay? We're choosing to be selfish and do what we want to do instead of doing what he wants us to do. And we have to remember that Jesus put us before himself, okay? He laid down everything to get on that cross, and he did it voluntarily. Ridding your life of sin shows the Lord that you're putting him first, that you love him more than you love your sin, and you're going to get a lot more interaction with him as far as him speaking to you and showing you things when you do that. You can't really hold on to your sin and expect to see, you know, open visions and get words, you know, the Lord speak to you about your life and things like that all the time if you're not even trying to live right for him. Okay? I think that's really important. And part of an intimate walk is spending time in prayer every day, talking. You know, you can do your praying when you're commuting. Or you can set aside time and just give him the first part of your morning. Or, you know, I pray throughout the day. I don't think I ever stop praying. I wonder sometimes if God gets tired of hearing from me. I think I'm making up for the 36 years I didn't walk with him. I don't know. But, and you need to spend time in worship. Now, we talked about worship last week on the podcast, how to worship. and there's not really a wrong way to worship. The way I worship is I just turn on Christian songs that I really love that put me in God's presence, and I sing to Him. And I cannot sing on key, by the way, but the Lord hears it as a joyful noise, and that's all that matters. And He knows that my heart is totally lifted up to Him when I'm doing that. So we need an intimate walk with Him. Another very powerful thing you can do is praying in tongues, like we just talked about. Another thing that's very important is praying protection over yourself and the people that you love. The number one thing you can pray over yourself is Psalm 91, and I have a personalized form of that on my website at justpraisehim.today in the prayers tab. And praying Psalm 91 over yourself doesn't mean just saying, Lord, I pray Psalm 91 over, you know, so-and-so. No. Let's just remember that the scriptures were not numbered until the 1600s. If you are praying Psalm 91 over yourself, you have to pray it line by line. And if you're not doing that, you're probably just being lazy. But what just saying I pray Psalm 91 is getting absolutely no effect at all. It just doesn't do anything. I pray Psalm 23 and Psalm 91 over myself every single day and over other people that I'm praying protection over. When you pray Psalm 91 and Psalm 23 out loud, you are decreeing that you will not fear. You are decreeing that no plague is going to come near your dwelling. And when we speak, we are decreeing. And in Job, in the Bible, it says if we decree a thing, it is established. So you want to establish your protection, okay? You want to establish that you're not going to fear. So you need to be praying these things out loud every day. I'm just telling you. God watches over His word to perform it. That's what the Bible says. So He's watching for you to proclaim and decree and stand on and believe His word. So He has something to perform, okay? You know, I saw somebody on a preaching program, I think it was last year, I'm not sure, last year or the year before, talking about Psalm 91. And I want to say it was like Bill Cloud or somebody that I don't usually watch, but he was on like Perry Stone or somebody's program that I do watch. And he was illustrating Psalm 91 as it is written in Hebrew. And there were like all these little letters in Hebrew that looked like spears. They looked like a spear. And he ran across the Hebrew and said, you know, each one of them, he was called a weapon. He said, weapon, 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 weapon. And I thought, wow, that whole psalm is a weapon. And that's what he was trying to show us. It's a weapon against Satan for whatever he's trying to put on you this time. And it will continue to be a weapon as we walk it towards the end. Okay? Another thing that will help you to build up your faith for these times is to read books like the stories about Psalm 91. You can find these books on Amazon. There's one in the print bookstore tab on my website. I'll put a link to it. It's one that I bought. I'll put a link to it in the description for this. So praying Psalm 91 over yourself and your loved ones, praying Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. That's a scripture you can stand on throughout the entire famine. Can I just tell you that? Okay. Looking up scriptures that you can stand on for various things that you believe are coming in the end times will help drive out fear. And how you do that is you think of a scripture promise on, let's say you want to look up one on the famine, okay, because we know there's a famine coming. So you go to BibleGateway.com, or you can Google your question. You can say, what does the Bible say about blah, 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 about the famine, or God feeds us in the famine. In BibleGateway.com, you can just go there and type famine in the search box and choose whatever translation of the Bible you read, okay, so it'll come up in your translation. I did that with famine, and I got Psalm 37:19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. So if I wanted to personalize that promise, they shall be satisfied, that's a promise. He's saying that we'll be satisfied. I would personalize that one by saying, in the days of famine I shall be satisfied. In the days of famine my son shall be satisfied. And I would pray it like that if I was praying it over someone. And then I looked up one for persecution, and I found Psalm 10, verse 2. The wicked in his pride does persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices they have imagined. And that means the people who are doing the persecution, let them suffer what they're trying to do to us for, you know, being Christian. And the Lord gave me prayer points years ago to pray before this time even started. He told me to pray to thank Him every day for clean air, pure water, nutritious food, electricity, and high-speed internet. And I've added one more. I thank the Lord that I can still call, mail, and email the people I care about to check on them and tell them that I love them. Because that's very important. Because when everything goes down, you won't be able to do that. And I have relatives in Oklahoma and Texas and, you know, different places. And I won't be able to call them and say, hey, I was just thinking about you today. I just wanted to tell you I love you and check, see how you were doing. So that's something that we'll miss in that time. You have anything to add to that, Nicole?
To this week, I was helping somebody with something, and God mentioned to me that they needed to break curses off of their supplements they were ordering.
Oh, yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah, that was new to me because I never thought about that. And so as I started thinking about that, you know, you recently posted with High Place Warriors and on Facebook that the witches have gathered right now against President Trump.
Yeah, I think it's tonight.
And against,
they're doing some big
could be
thing.
Why that. Yeah. This was so hard too, by the way.
Oh, maybe so. I'm thinking about that.
Yeah. And so I started thinking about that. And, you know, we don't really know all the stuff that we buy online, where it's coming from, who's handling it,
true,
what they're putting on it. We have no idea. It would be like having a box, you order a box of food and the food's good, but inside a box is a bunch of roaches, and you bring the box in your house not knowing, and you open it up, and then you have a problem with roaches in your house because you didn't clean the box before you brought it in.
So true.
So it doesn't hurt to break off curses and things off of everything before it comes into your home, because we have no clue who's doing what. You could walk in the store by a witch, and the demons on the witch would talk openly to them and say, this person's a Christian, send this. Mm-hmm. And you walk out the store and have no idea what just happened.
So true.
So among praying for our food and blessing all that, we need to be canceling off these things on a daily basis just to keep us protected, because it lets things in and we're not even aware of it.
Yeah, I take about 20 vitamins and supplements a day. And I added that to my daily prayer list after you told me that, because I never thought about that. Never even thought about it being on. I've thought about it being on other stuff, different clothing and stuff like that, because sometimes that'll come from other countries. And you don't know if people are, you know, or they're putting stuff on their altars and blessing it, you know, under their God and stuff like. You don't know what they're doing before it's imported to America. We don't know. We don't even know if they're doing it here.
Right. I mean, we have a Chinese restaurant in our town that has this huge, I mean, like, it's probably 6.5 foot tall gold Buddha when you walk into the restaurant.
Yeah.
And, I have to always bind everything up before I go in there and, you know, and then break all the curses off of it. And maybe some people think you shouldn't go in place to eat in places like that. But if you, you know, break things off and bless it, I don't think that that's an issue, unless God tells me otherwise. I don't feel that way. But it's about taking precautions.
Yeah. And the Bible says that, you know, what we can eat, that we can bless it and sanctify it.
Yeah.
There is a donut shop in Princeton that opened up before I left there. I used to always go to the other donut shop, but the new one opened up, and I thought, well, let me go down here and try this. And I walked in, and I was standing there waiting my turn, and there was this weird statue on the counter behind the counter. And when it came my turn, I asked the guy what it was. And he said it was a goddess that called in customers. I was like, all righty then. And so I got my donuts and I left. And, of course, I broke all that off my donuts before I ate them. But I never went there again. I'm like, yeah, y'all can keep your donuts after this, because that's more work than I need. I just went back to the other donut shop. But you have to be careful about stuff like that. I knew there were demons on that statue because I could feel them.
Right. There was quite a few years back, there was a store in the mall I had went into to get something that somebody wanted. I don't even remember. But there was something really bad in that store, so much so oppressive that it was a weight on my chest immediately. And so I don't go in that store. So that, you know, if it's that manifested, no, I won't.
Yeah.
I don't feel that like that at the Chinese place. I just bind the things up and bless my food, you know, and pray for the people who prepared the food that they can come to know Christ.
There was a chiropractor I went to for a while in Princeton, because back when I had my other truck, it was a high step to step into it, and I didn't realize that that was throwing my lower back out, and I had a back problem real bad the whole time I had that truck, and I got rid of it, and the back problem went away, so I knew what it was then. But this one chiropractor I went to, I was paying out, and I noticed he had some stuff on this one little shelf, and I was about to leave, and I looked, and I saw a little Buddha, and I knew that this guy professed to be a Christian, and I said something to him about it, and I said, why do you have a Buddha in your shop? That's a, you know, it's an idol god. And he said, oh, it's nothing, it's just art. And I said, it's not art to God. And I said, the Lord's showing me that if you don't get rid of that Buddha, your business is gonna close. And he kind of laughed. And I went on out the door, and I thought, yeah, he probably won't listen. But he acted, then he kind of acted like he would. Then, he kind of went back and forth. And I stopped going there, but it closed in a month later. And I think it was because he never got rid of the statue, because that's what the Lord showed me he was going to do.
We had a while back, we had a psychic place in Ville Platte. And one day I noticed it when I was driving by. And so every time I drive by, I command it to be shut. And within a few months, it shut down.
I do the same thing if I see something like that. Or liquor stores anywhere around me, because I don't like those either.
Yeah.
Yep, I do those too. Okay. I'm going to pray for the listeners real quick. We're going to close this. I want to thank you, Nicole, for taking your time and sharing your knowledge, and on a Friday. We're recording on a Friday. I really appreciate that. And I'm going to put Nicole's email in the description, but it's estherswingsofwar@gmail.com. But thank you so much for taking your time and sharing with everybody.
You're welcome.
Lord God in heaven, I lift every listener to you right now. You see the concerns of every heart about the times we live in and going forward, Lord. Your word declares these to be perilous times, and we can sure see that. We ask for your grace and protection each day, Lord, and we pray that you would send laborers across the paths of all our unsaved loved ones to lead them into an intimate walk with you. And we pray you would send us across the paths of others' unsaved loved ones and speak through us to lead them into an intimate walk with you as well. We pray you would speak to every heart right now, Lord, and show each of us what preparations we need to make to walk out whatever time we have left on the earth, because we know it's different for each person. Lord, we pray you would help each of us to pray our prayers of protection and provision each day, confessing we will not be afraid, and protection from evil and pestilence in this time. Help us to be more and more diligent each day, Lord, for this is what the times we are living in call for. We ask you would strengthen us as we do our best for you, Lord, that we may endure and finish our race strong, so we can hear the wonderful words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when we at last come home to you. Thank you for so many blessings that we cannot even count them all, Lord. We praise your great name, and we magnify your name, and we worship you, Jesus. And we do all in your great name. Amen. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print, and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?
Do you know someone suffering from domestic violence or another form of abuse like verbal abuse? Did you know abuse has deep spiritual roots that cause abuse to be attracted to a person throughout their lifetime? Now, the Escaping Abuse Study Guide helps you discover and remove those spiritual roots so you won't be an abuse magnet. Get the Escaping Abuse Study Guide or get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. Escaping Abuse Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available now on Amazon.com.